This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm talking about Lead Women, a leadership and consulting company focused on developing and advancing women leaders in Asia. Lead Women has led programs such as Women in Leadership and The Board Journey, programs that prepare women for sustained success in a changing business landscape, and also laying the foundation for future placements of women on public and private company board of directors. I'm here with Dr. Marcella Lucas, who leads the organization. Now, for those of you who don't know Lead Women, well, I spoke to Anna Abraham, who started it years ago. And of course, you know, what has changed since then? And I guess for people who don't know what Lead Women is all about, you could just tell us a little bit more.
Good morning, Frida. Thank you for having me. What is Lead Women? Well, for those who remember when we were first founded in 2012 by Anne Abraham, who you just mentioned, we initially started off as being an execution partner for a government project. In 2012, the previous prime minister had set a national target of 30% women in leadership positions. So that included women on boards. And so we, together with MINDA, the Malaysian Institute of Directors at the time, put together a 5-day program, effectively a type of boot camp, to get raise awareness and get women ready to sit on boards, specifically publicly listed boards. In those first 2 or 3 years, we trained over 900 women through the Women Director program. So that is how Lead Women started. Fast forwarding, it's our 7-year cycle now. A lot has changed. We are effectively now a one-stop shop, both for boards that are seeking the right talent and good talent, and the women who want to pursue, I guess, what we call a third career.
So you've trained over 900 women, you know, in the early days. Is that throughout, or, you know, how many women have you currently trained then?
We've really revamped that program. It's now called The Board Journey because rather than, it really reflects also how we've changed as a business. Rather than a sort of one-off training and this one touch point, it's about understanding where you are on your journey, because the board journey can be a very long one.
Okay. And I want you to take me on that journey in just a moment. So I know that you all help with getting placements for women on public and private company board directors. Is that just, and public, there is sort of like a mandate, right? So it's got to be done. But with private, they, it's sort of free will. Do you see as much excitement in the private, you know, companies?
That's difficult to say. So we certainly can track it, because people ask, they're like, well, what's the impact that you've created? We can track that through the publicly listed companies because they have to report it. So if I can maybe just share where we are today, we just received the data from Bursa, Malaysia. We effective Q2 this year, we are now at 26.5% women on the top 100 publicly listed boards. So that's pretty close to the 30% target. And I think we're also shifting that target now, because 30% is gives you a voice at the table, but it's not parity. Right. So we're going to be looking beyond that now.
Right. And I guess if you look at all, though, I mean, are the numbers also encouraging? Not beyond the top 100?
We're not near 50%. Let's just say that. But considering a few years ago, we were really squinting to find a woman, right? We were at between 7 and 8% women on boards. If you look at all the publicly listed, we are now at 16.2%.
Okay.
So a lot of work still to be done, but I think we should take a moment to reflect and also celebrate how far we have actually come.
Right. When we talk about this, right, do we get questioned on, okay, so you've got 26.5%. Does it mean that the companies have improved in terms of performance? You know, I mean, I'm sure this conversation goes on and on and on, right? Yes, we want 30%. Is that a reflection of how the company has done?
We get that question a lot, right? Because people also ask why. There's all kinds of questions
yeah,
we
sure.
get. That's a tricky one. If you look at it holistically, we've seen this shift in the last few years. It's very difficult to correlate having one or two additional people or different people on the board to bottom or top line.
Right.
We've never done that for directors as a whole, i.e. sort of the male directors.
Right.
But now people are going, okay, we've placed one woman and ta-da, we've turned it around. I think that's a little unrealistic.
Right.
I think the other thing that's changing now is boards typically, and still do, it's quarter-to-quarter reporting. So it's very much in the short term. Mm. We're also, the idea of getting diversity is that we are looking at more sustainable efforts, whether it's environmental efforts, whether it's talent. Are we grooming the right people? Are we bringing in their, you know, millennials? People hear millennials and they kind of go, ooh, what do we do with this new workforce? So I think we're also, boards are very much shifting from that financial audit, legal oversight to becoming more strategic.
Right.
And as that's happening, there's also room for different types of leadership, which may not directly correlate to a specific bottom line number.
You know, and you know, the measurement should not always just be about profit, right? The measurement should be about other things as well. We've got to learn to change our form of measurement as well, because it's not just that sort of, you know what, the three P's, bottom line, right? There's people, planet, and profits,
profit,
right? But then we've got to look at the other forms of measurement as well. But you know, when we talked about 30%, and I just want to go back, what happens in the board of directors? How do the dynamics change when there's 30%?
So the 30% is not a random number. So there have been studies and that have shown for a minority to have a voice. Now, in this case, it doesn't need to be at the table. We, of course, are talking about at the boardroom. For a minority to have a voice, which means to be included, not to simply be represented, you need to have at least 30% representation. So that's where that number comes from originally.
Right. And so it's so kind of sad that the women are seen as a minority, right?
We're not a minority, but
that's
still a marginalized group.
Right?
Yes.
It is encouraging that in the last 7 years that we've seen progress in this area as well. So you talk about the board journey and the programs, Women in Leadership. So what are the, do you still do the Women in Leadership programs?
Yes. Yeah, so maybe I can come back to an earlier point you made. You talked about the three P's, planet, people, profit. Now, 2 years ago, we introduced a fourth P. We didn't introduce, but we were looking at a fourth P, purpose. So what we found, while we're doing quite well statistically for women on boards, if you look at the C-level and the senior management, the numbers are a bit worrying. The pipeline possibly is not there to keep this replacement rate up and increase. So we've been really looking at, well, what is it that where we, you know, once women come back after childcare, a lot of emphasis is placed on women working towards leadership, but not that much emphasis is placed on the women that are already there.
Right.
How do we continue to support them? And so we've looked at purpose, how we found that women will drop out because their purpose doesn't align to perhaps the companies or the impact the company is creating. The other thing we've looked at is unconscious bias. What biases are being faced at? We're talking about that top level.
Right.
A lot of people say, you know, women coming back from maternity leave and how do we groom them? But we're really focused on the women that are already, quote unquote, there. Yes, they've made it, but they still have a whole journey to go. What? And who's supporting them?
What's the unconscious bias at that level?
All kinds of things. The last year, we've really focused on unconscious bias. And people go, yes, what does that really mean? It comes down to the human interactions, right?
Okay.
The day-to-day nuances, the way things are phrased. Would you ask the same question to a man versus a woman? We've actually been using exchange theater,
right?
Because unconscious bias is not something you can share. You really have to experience it. And so a lot of what we now do is purely experiential. So we've had some scenarios around, in a meeting, it's a birthday. Who gets the cake, cuts the cake, sorts out the plates?
Okay.
Probably not the most senior gentleman in the room.
Right.
right? So often it's still sort of the woman, although she may be the CEO in that room.
And I think even at that level, the woman might be expecting another woman to take on that role.
Yeah.
And
it is unconscious. I think in most cases it's not malicious intent.
Exactly.
We do it as well.
Right.
When you and I are chatting, it's like, oh yeah, my response also would have been like that. And then I'm thinking, would I have responded that way if it was a guy?
Mm.
Maybe not. So it's about raising that awareness.
Right. Just everything that we say and think, whoa, was that an unconscious bias?
Yes.
We'll continue our conversation. We'll talk about the board journey after this. I'm here with Dr. Marcella Lucas from Lead Women. You're listening to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Backing feminist movements. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Her Vantage. Good morning, Frida Liu here. This is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. And influence and leadership it is. Dr. Marcella Lucas from Lead Women. What they do is, it is a leadership and consulting company focused on developing and advancing women leaders in Asia. Here in Malaysia, of course, they're helping women representation 30% in PLCs. You talk about the board journey. And of course, encouraging women to get on board. But what is that board journey? Take me on this journey, Marcella.
That's an interesting question. So I think for everyone, that journey can be quite different. We focus primarily on the publicly listed boards, which are obviously very influential, very established, and often come with particular dynamics. So even at that level, it's very unique. Board to board will be quite different. You've got the GLCs, you've got the MNCs, you've got the family-run businesses, you've got the ones that have strong influence from foreign investors. Of course, wow. The GLCs have other influences as well. We offer a couple of different, so depending on where you are on that journey, we offer different, I don't want to use the word support, but we will guide you on that journey. Mm. For some, it starts with awareness, basic training. What does it take to sit on a board? Because having had your management career, that for some people, that leap to the board, moving from sort of expertise and operations to strategic oversight can be quite a leap. For many others, it could be the network. Hmm. And so what we're effectively trying to build with Lead Women is, I guess, the women's golf club.
Right.
Right. So that when an opportunity comes up, these are very small circles. And because the board is such a small and intimate setting, it'll be much easier to be welcomed into that circle when people know you and are comfortable
right.
with you.
So you're organizing a power lunch, I know, like today, and that's the equivalent of the men's going for their golf outings for a day in a way. Right?
In a way,
and,
yes.
And so what? Why power lunches? Why do you think that's more effective for women? That sort of thing.
Yeah, so our big focus, so we do training and we do positioning. The big gap I think we're trying to address now is still visibility, which comes to your point. How do we raise that visibility, in particular with women being the beneficiaries? Men are also beneficiaries, but our focus is still, we do positive discrimination. Our main beneficiaries are women. We have found that the networking scene right now is very much designed by for men. The typical ones, and these are gross generalizations, right. So just bear with me, is happy hour. You know, a lot of deals get, doors open, deals close over happy hour, or the golf course. We've found we're trying to create something that's more conducive to the woman leader. Hmm. What that often means is her priority right after work is family.
Right.
And not perhaps going for a drink or small talk. Mm. The other one is, if it intrudes on her work time, it also becomes more of a challenge and more of an obstacle. And so we launched our first power lunch, it must be about almost 2 years ago now, where we do it over lunchtime. Because one, we all need to eat. right?
And Malaysians love to eat.
That's right. We all need to eat. It's a moment to sit back and relax a little, because that's the whole idea of golfing as well, is you can sort of just be yourself, your authentic self. And so we found over lunch or over brunch, it doesn't intrude on family time and it doesn't intrude on professional time.
Right.
And so the response to the power lunches has been very good so far.
Right. So that's the formula that works at the moment until the role of the family is equally distributed.
Yes.
Right.
Do you have a crystal ball to tell me when that might happen?
Conversation for another day. You know, we talk about... When you take women on this board journey, right? Why are women? Am I right in saying this? I'm just watching my words. Are women more hesitant? What would be the reasons that women will hold back on being the board directors? They don't know. They think it's too much work. What's holding them back?
I think it depends, right? Every board's different. Every candidate, woman candidate is different. I think the two things that stand out is one, they're not aware the opportunity maybe exists, which means they then can't pursue it. They can't put in the work to network, understand what the company's going through or understand how they can add value to that particular company. The other one is also, and this is sort of a double-edged sword, is hesitation often sort of links to risk adversity, right? And often, even when we were talking earlier, when we hear that term at first, we go, oh, yeah, that's a bad thing. Mm. But it can also be a very good thing. But it means there's also that selection process beforehand. Mm. We actually have found, if I'm thinking back on the last year and a half, there have been only very, very few boards where women have sort of gone, let me think about it, or perhaps I won't take this opportunity, because it's not about forcing these things. It's about providing the same opportunity. They then choose whether it's an opportunity they want to pursue or not. We've generally found when the opportunity does present itself, women, and again, gross generalization, but our members will take the opportunity and at least apply for the position.
Right. And you call them members.
Yes. Yeah, so lead women under sort of, we do the training, networking and positioning. We are a membership organization because when you then join us as a member, you get to tap into that network.
Right.
You get to come to our events. And we also, if you join as a lead women director member, you are prioritized for our board sourcing opportunities because we have an online portal that where you submit a board ready CV. We do other sort of training and coaching around that, because what happens is when a board opportunity comes up, we typically need to respond very quickly. And so we want to make sure we've got the right pool available that we can meet that demand.
And what does the right candidate mean?
Good question. Again, depends on the board, depends on the individual. That's also something we're working closely with the boards and the market. What does the right candidate mean? And that's been, I'll be honest, has been a struggle. Boards come to us and say, well, we want, you know, let's say finance expertise in oil and gas. And then we send them 8 or 10 great CVs, because let's face it, at this level, almost everyone's really overqualified, right? And then it comes back with, no, we're not interested in any of them. And I'm like, well, you've only just seen them on paper. So what is it that qualifies or doesn't qualify them? Sometimes we get boards who look at their, or we get like company secretaries, they look at their boards and go, okay, well, our whole board is, let's say, full of accountants and legal expertise, which is traditionally what boards consisted of. And they're like, oh, but we then need someone that can do marketing, technology, has digital background. And so they're effectively looking for a Wonder Woman that can tick all the boxes, which is also completely unrealistic.
Unreasonable. You know, to be on the board, is age a factor?
For the publicly listed boards, yes, which is interesting because in other parts of the world, you're not allowed to put gender and age on your CV.
Okay.
Here, that's still in Malaysia, that's still perfectly acceptable.
But it would be the same age factor for both men and women.
Yeah. So okay. The publicly listed boards typically want individuals who are already retired for multiple reasons. One of them is the time commitment for some of these boards is quite intense. Mm-hmm. So it's quite difficult to be running, you know, to still have your C-level position and possibly also sit on a board. However, that's not always the case. Mm. We have a number of directors, and I think that's the same on the for male directors, that still work full-time and sit on a board. But yes, often they are still, and the publicly listed boards, they're looking for very, very experienced individuals, right? So it's a bit difficult to put like someone with 10 years experience right. on the board versus
someone so then it's not so much
seasoned.
An age, but the years of experience. Which equates age.
Yes, but that's also debatable, right? If you're looking for someone with technology background,
right?
What demographic are you looking at? If you're looking at cybersecurity or app development, or you know these new areas that boards are taking very seriously now,
right? So that is something that you feel needs to be changed, but unfortunately have not changed.
It will. Mm. So actually, one of the first ladies about 2 years ago, when I first joined Lead Women, one of the ladies we placed at the time, I believe, was 34 or 35 years old. Mm. She was an engineer.
Okay.
And she was, I believe at the time, the first woman on that board and the first engineer.
Okay.
On that board.
Okay, so the it wasn't so much. There isn't a you have to be a certain age. So at least 35, I guess.
Yeah, we do have boards who say 55 and above. So we do ask the question.
So it's subjective to different boards. It's not by law. So it's I see. So it's still subjective to different boards.
It's completely. That's why it's hard to generalize because every board will be very different.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You know, when I spoke to Anne years ago, one of the things that she talked about, women having the confidence, you know, and whether it's presentation skills and these things were lacking. Has this changed?
So coming back to your question earlier on the board journey, so literally the board journey, the program focuses a little bit on that as well. So maybe I can just share. It's a 2.5-day program. Day one covers the technical aspect, the Company Act, corporate code of governance, as well as what are your roles and responsibility as a director, or if you sit on one of the committees, what does that mean, right? So that's really the technical side. The main focus of the day two is dynamics. And so it's understanding how do you read the board? How do you exert your influence? And so a lot of that then also, if you're comfortable in that, that also helps build confidence. And if you're confident, it also helps build sort of those skills. So it's a bit of a chicken or the egg, what comes first. Mm. I think for anyone, male or female, confidence comes from being comfortable and having had certain experiences and then having the positive feedback that encourages you to push yourself even further to the edge or beyond your comfort zone. Mm. So confidence, I think, is still a factor. I think that's probably a factor for both genders. But I think if you can give an opportunity, people will put the work and effort in to prove themselves.
All right. So on that note, thanks for being with us and sharing what you've been up to, the organization's been up to in the last 7 years. I've been speaking to Dr. Marcella Lucas from Lead Women. You've been listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.